And a good morning to all, and today we are looking at that word hope in the Bible. It is said that a person can live 3 weeks without food. You can live 3 days without water, but you can't even live 3 hours without hope. This world, by nature, its sinful nature, is a hopeless society. We're going to read about this in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. We as Christians have hope, whether we realize it or not. That's a sad statement to make, but some Christians seem to live in a hopeless realm. They should not, because of what we read in Romans 8. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now that word hope is from the Greek elpis, a confident expectation that one day we will be with him in glory. That's the hope of the Christian. In Ephesians 4 verse 4, we read, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And that seems to be the center of our thinking this morning. One hope of our calling, the unity of the Lord in grace. There's no other hope but heaven. Oh, I know there are millions of professing Christians who declare up and down they're going to go into the kingdom on earth. That's another hope. But there is one hope of our calling, and that calling is by the grace of God. Under law, it was an earthly hope, which, of course, is now in abeyance. I'm turning now to Romans 5. Just back up 3 chapters. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do we? How much joy do we have as we live this life here on earth? Oh, we know the earth is becoming terrible. Do we have hope? Do we express that hope? Do we experience that hope? That hope of the Lord is heaven. And don't forget that in Ephesians, we are already seated with him in heavenly places. Now talk about hope. That is steadfast and sure. And as we live this life on earth, and we're still here, aren't we? In Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the glorious appearing? The appearing of the glory? Or can we also say the appearing in the glory? It's not coming, it's appearing. Do you sense the difference? For Israel and the kingdom, they're looking for the second coming of Christ. We are looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a difference. So we look for that blessed hope. In Romans 8:22, we have read already, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty. There's that word again. Glorious appearing. And now we're going to experience the glorious liberty. The liberty of the glory. The liberty in the glory. That's the blessed hope we're talking about. The glorious liberty will be in the presence of Jesus Christ. It is the nature of God to have liberty. because he is the Holy One and the Just. And because of Jesus Christ, we have inherited the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So in Colossians 3, verse 4, and I realize I'm hopping around Paul's letters, but here we have some more explanation of that hope. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, there's that word appear again, not come, appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we, Christians, also appear with him in glory. There's the glorious liberty we have in Christ. We'll appear with him in glory. But who could merit it? Well, no one. For what we read earlier, we are sinners. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, we are sinners saved by grace. I know it's rather foreboding to look into our past, but here is what we were before we were saved. In Ephesians 2, verse 12, at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. Having no hope. Tragic. But there are billions, yes, I said billions of people in this world who have no hope without God and without Christ. We find that God, through his grace, according to Romans 5, 5, I'll read that verse. And hope maketh not ashamed. There's that word, hope. Confident expectation. It doesn't make us ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Notice the word given. A definition of grace. God's gift. Unmerited, of course. All we merit by nature is hell. But God has given us his grace. That good thing, Paul says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:14, by the way, that good thing which was committed unto thee. Committed? God, by his grace, has given us salvation, hope. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Who can understand the magnitude of his grace? And by failing to understand that magnitude, we do not respond as we ought. But search the Scriptures, seek his face, claim his grace, understand the magnitude of his grace, and we can respond properly. The ability to respond, but do we? Well, Paul's prayer, and this is probably the greatest prayer in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul prays, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, that we may know. And the prayer is that we might understand, we might know fully what is the hope of the Lord's calling. In Titus 3, 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's sure. One day we will be caught up to be with the Lord in the heavenly places. One day we will be changed. From glory to glory, the Bible says, because we are now heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And you know it depends on him, not us. He has paid the price. He has provided the way. He has told us what we can expect. And he cannot lie. It depends on him. He, in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto all good works. He has given to us all things. So one's understanding of this hope determines one's manner of life on earth. We are told, not just one time, we are told by Paul, for example, Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Similarly, in Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, and that knowledge includes understanding that hope that we have in Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Romans 5:5, we quoted earlier, we'll do it again, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. If you have hope, you don't have fear. Well, that word ashamed, a feeling of fear that prohibits one from doing a thing. I think we have an illustration of this. The Lord spoke a parable back in Luke 16, verse 3. He said, the steward said within himself, what shall I do? I'm in a quandary. I don't know what to do. For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I'm fearful. A fear that prohibits one from doing a thing. If we have no hope, we live in fear. What does the future hold for us? And that's why so many people are afraid of death. They are so fearful of the unknown. But in Christ, we know whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto us against that day. In Philippians 1 verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, according to my earnest expectation. That's what hope is, a confident expectation. So he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed. I have no fear. God is in control. God is in me. God gives to me the ability to do his will, and his will is perfect, absolute, glorious, and all that and more. So he says, and I'll repeat the first part as I go on, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now in Christ, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether by life or by death, that is the response we should have. Jesus Christ is magnified in our bodies, physical body, and much more in our resurrection body. For me to live is Christ now, and to die is gain, much more Christ. Remember Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And you believe, and I believe, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the hope that it offers, the hope that is ours, that we have nothing to fear. So we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking with great anticipation? I can't wait. One day I'll be with him. That glorious liberty will be mine. The hope that I have now is secure. It is the confident expectation as I and you look for that blessed hope in Jesus Christ. Amen.